Father God, today we ask that you'll open up your word to us. We ask that your spirit will come and speak to us from that word, that we will receive a message for us each. Amen. I don't know about you, but I think we live in a society at the moment where anger and vitriol seem to be the norm. I cannot recall a time in society where I've observed it quite like it is. I can trace it back to many things, and I'm quite sure in the last year I will recall where I've been on certain days because of the emotions I've felt. I will never forget the day after the European Union referendum. I went to Rotary, and so when that question ever gets asked, where were you the day that it was announced that we were leaving the European Union, I will be able to say, I remember it very clearly. I went to Rotary, and the anger in the room was just visible. I sat down at the table to enjoy my meal, and there was only one subject of conversation. And actually, it wasn't pleasant. It was, what have these people done? I went to the core that very same day, and even in the core, there was the same kind of talk going on. Angry people. And it doesn't matter which way you voted, but it was very tangible that there was anger in that place. Anger is an emotion that each of us has and probably demonstrate from time to time. Anger is a demonstration of our extreme displeasure. Something annoys us or aggravates us. There's a chemical reaction in the body, and adrenaline starts to flow. We become angry, and we show our anger in many ways. Some people shout. Some people scream. Some people lash out physically. Others say nothing. They just glare, and the look itself could kill. There are few people in the world that can be described as totally placid. And the first followers of Jesus, the first followers in the early church, could be hot-headed. The great leaders of the church throughout the generations have let their displeasure be known. We follow a long line of people who have wrestled with this emotion of anger. And when we consider the whole theme of loving our neighbour, as we have been doing over the last few weeks, Paul brings us to this important issue, and it's that of how do we deal with our anger? Because I'm quite sure that in this world of ours, one of the things that stops us loving our neighbour properly is when we feel angry towards them. One of the most important questions we need to ask this morning is, first of all, is it wrong to get angry? We probably all do it. Is it wrong? We classify anger as being an emotion that's undesirable. It's not godly. It's listed, after all, as one of the seven deadly sins. Anger surely is something a good Christian should not feel. But hang on a minute. Didn't God get angry? Exodus chapter 15, we read these words. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You, says Moses of God, unleashed your burning anger. And it consumed them like stubble. In Leviticus, God himself says this. If in spite of this you still do not listen to me, but continue to be hostile towards me, then in my anger, I will be hostile towards you. And myself will punish you for your sins seven times over. So I read that God was angry. But then I read this. Again in Exodus, God himself says this of himself. As God passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. David in Psalm 30 says this, his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a fortnight, for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. So God was angry, but God was slow to anger. And you know full well that even Jesus himself became angry. These words that we read in Matthew 21, Jesus entered the temple area. He drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It's written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. I think we get confused over this whole idea of anger because we always assume that love and anger are opposites. That love and anger are opposites. Elie Wiesel passed away last year. He was a Jew, and at the age of 15, he was sent to Auschwitz. And in his biography, he recalls the very moment that the concentration camp was liberated from the Nazis by the Allied forces. And when the commander of the Allied forces entered the camp, after seeing the immense suffering in the camp, all he could do was shout and curse at the top of his voice. And he continued to express this outrage for a very long time. Every corner he turned, he would become more angry. And Elie Wiesel in his biography says that even though I was only a child at the time, as I watched and listened to this soldier's intense anger, it was for me a signal that humanity had returned to that place. He actually associated this man's anger with humanity as opposed to something that is opposite to love. Andrew Lester, in his book The Angry Christian, writes this. When Christians believe in the anger is sin tradition, they often conclude that anger is an unloving response to others. I believe the opposite is often true. In many situations, anger is the most loving and therefore the most Christian response. I suggest the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself should motivate us to be angry. Ideally, our capacity for anger should be activated when the values that we've adopted as Christians are threatened. And in these situations, anger is not the opposite of love, but an expression of love. And that's exactly what was happening with that soldier in Auschwitz. His anger was an expression of his love for humanity at seeing the awful things he couldn't help but become angry because they were so against his own very values. John Stott argues very much the same, and he says there's a great need in the contemporary world for more Christian anger. In the face of blatant evil, we should be indignant, not tolerant, angry, not apathetic. If evil arouses God's anger, then it should arouse ours also. Angry discourse can certainly motivate and stir people to action. And yet, somehow we are called to be different. We are called to be different. Oh, I don't know about you, but I've got a long list of things that I get angry about. You don't have to go very far from my office to discover that. If you were around on Thursday, for example, you'd have discovered a very unhappy boy. The internet wasn't working. The internet wasn't working even after they'd done an upgrade to our router 3 days earlier. I rang them, told them it wasn't working. 3 hours later, had I received a response? Nope. Could I do anything? Nope. Could I even go out of the office and get on with something else? No, because they told me to stand by the phone in case the engineer needed to talk to me. It finally came back on. 23 minutes past four, just as I was getting ready to walk out of the door. I was an angry person if you were around me on Thursday, and I wasn't worth being around. That's a minor thing. But let's face it, we all have things in life that we get angry about. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians in chapter 4, he said to them, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on you while you are still angry." Paul recognized that people get angry, but then he tells us that actually it's what we do with our anger that really matters. Just how are we going to treat our neighbor with whom we have deep differences of belief, action, and lifestyle? Just how are we going to respond to those situations or individuals that annoy us? It's how we respond that matters. Anger should always be under the direction of love. And we should always handle our anger in ways that are life-enhancing for ourselves and our community rather than life-destroying. Do you know one of the most beautiful things is it's within our ability to handle our anger. You'll know from Genesis chapter 4, you'll have read it many times, the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel did not like each other. And Genesis chapter 4 tells us this. Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." What God was saying to him was very simple. Cain, you've got the ability to control your anger. Control it. Because if you don't, sin's there. It's just waiting to grab you. But you have the freedom. You have all the resources to be able to handle your anger. Sadly, what happened? Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out into the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. God was making it very clear to Cain that he had the ability to deal with his anger. And this is exactly the same message that Paul's giving to the Ephesians. When he says, "Be angry and do not sin," he's saying, "Hey guys, you've got the ability to handle your anger." And he goes on right at the very end. He says, "Get rid of all the bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." He's telling them to put away all the expressions of anger that can be destructive. Put them away, he says. Because you won't resolve anything with that. Why am I talking about it this morning? Why do I think it's important to raise this whole issue of anger when it comes to loving our neighbour? Well, quite frankly, it's because I've sadly seen too many church relationships destroyed by angry outbursts. And instead of there being a hopeful engagement to resolve the issue, an angry outburst has destroyed the situation. I've only been with you for 8 months, but I'd be very surprised if you cannot go back in your life, in the history of this core, and recall moments of angry outburst that have actually sought to destroy the fellowship of this core. All because we don't learn to handle our anger well. Angry outbursts are life-destroying, whereas hopeful engagement can be life-enhancing. We all get angry. What can we do about it? Well, first of all, let's learn to recognize our anger when it occurs. My wife can recognize anger in my life so well. And she'll say to me, "What's making you angry?" And inevitably I'll say, "Nothing." And she'll say to me, "Yes, it is." "No, it's not," I say. "Yes, it is," she says. "I can tell. you're scratching the side of your head really angrily. And she recognizes the traits that just reveal my anger. Our ability to recognize our anger when it's there is important, because when we recognize our anger, then we can bring the resources to bear to handle it. And let's learn to acknowledge it too. Let's learn to accept how we feel. Don't brush it aside. None of this. No, I'm not. Actually, I resolve my anger a lot better when I can acknowledge, yeah, I'm angry at the minute. And you know, when I acknowledge my anger, I also confirm that it's my responsibility to deal with it. When I acknowledge my anger, I confirm that it's my responsibility to deal with it. The great Scottish evangelist Henry Drummond said this: it's not enough to deal with the temper. We must go to the source. We must change the inmost nature. Souls are made sweet not by taking the acid fluids out, but by putting something in. A great love, a new spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And this only can eradicate what is wrong and work a chemical change and renovate the inner man. What can we do about it? Well, when we replace our rage with the attitude of Christ, when we allow grace to do its work within us, then the way we are feeling becomes life-enhancing and not life-destroying. We all have to find a way of living together in an era where we will not agree, where we will not see eye to eye, and where there will be things that make us angry. And we have to do it in a way that reflects the deep sense of divine love and grace that each and every one of us has experienced. And in a world that can be angry, in a world that currently is very vitriolic, you and I are called to live differently. And instead of angry outbursts, God calls us to be part of his loving, healing, and redemptive work in the world. And you know, in so doing, we learn to love our neighbor. Why do I talk about anger this morning? Very simply, because I think that so many times what stops us from loving our neighbor is an angry outburst. And we have to deal with it. And so this morning, I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know. There might be one or two of you that come this morning very angry. There might be one or two of you that are going very angry. There might be some of you like me that recognizes that anger is a part of their life on a day-to-day basis. And actually, I need to be able to call on the resources of heaven to be able to handle it and deal with it as it arises each and every day during the week. Because only when I deal with my anger can I truly love my neighbor. And so this morning, I certainly come asking not for the acid to be taken away, but for something else to be put in its place that will stop that anger flowing and instead will allow me to love my neighbor. And so this morning, I come at the end of the meeting to sing a simple prayer that says, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I know that in my humanity, I can get angry. It's always there. And actually, I've allowed at times in the past my angry outbursts to spoil a relationship or to not enhance a relationship. And therefore, I've got to try to put into my heart the things that encourage me to love my neighbor, even though I might not agree, even though I might not see eye to eye. And so this morning, I simply sing this prayer. Break me, melt me, mold me, and fill me. And as I enter a new week this week, there's going to be times when probably my blood will boil. But at those times when my blood starts to boil, Lord, come and fill me with your grace so that I can make sure that how I'm feeling is life-enhancing as opposed to life-destroying. Will you sing it with me? Let's join together as we consider the message to us today. Together then. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And as the melody plays, I want you to just close your eyes. Are you angry with anybody at the minute? Is anger one of those emotions that visits you often? If it is, then today, replace it with a spirit of grace and just allow the Spirit of the living God to come upon you. And once more, let's sing together. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Father God, over the last few weeks, we've been considering what it means to love our neighbour. And as we've thought of what it means to love our neighbour, we've considered some of our emotions. And one of the things that obviously stops us from appreciating and having a good relationship with our neighbour is when we get angry, when we get annoyed with our neighbours. And we certainly live in a society at the moment where anger and vitriol seem to be very much the norm. And yet as Christians, we're called to be different. We're called to recognize what it is to be angry, but to not actually allow our anger to lead us into something that's wrong. And it's how we deal with our anger that's so important. And so, Lord, for those times that you raise in us a righteous anger, an indignation, we thank you for that. And we pray that in those times, our communication will indeed bring about some action that is life-enhancing. But we also think of those times as well when we can just become angry because of something that's been done to us, some kind of hurt or some kind of grievance. And in those times, Lord, fill us with the Spirit of grace that we might deal with one another in a way that is Jesus-like. So important to recognize that angry outbursts can actually cause a lot of trouble in church fellowships. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll protect ours, that you'll protect it and allow us to deal with each other in a spirit of openness and in a spirit where we can actually engage in a positive way with one another. So, Lord, teach us how to love our neighbour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.